Hey, you want a goofball, Jack? You know what I mean, a sleeping pill. Nah, what do you want to ask a doctor for? Forget it. I got the pills right here. Prescription? Skip it. And why go to a drugstore? I'll sell you a box. You're nervous these days, aren't you, Jack? Working a little too hard, family troubles piling up, got the butterflies in your stomach, can't sleep. Sure. This is for you, kid. You'll feel great. Walk around all day on velvet. Sleep like a doll at night. What do you say? You want a goofball, Jack?
Name Your Poison. WOR's News and Special Features Division presents another special broadcast in its award-winning series of programs in the public interest. Name Your Poison. The subject of tonight's broadcast, sleeping pills.
Or goofballs, or red devils, or yellow jackets, or blue heavens. Those are the underworld names for them. You know, Veronol, Secanol, Nembutol, Phenobarbital. Little red, blue, or yellow pills. Inexpensive, easy to take. Look like candy.
Your narrator tonight is Raymond Edward Johnson.
We Americans buy and use 3 billion doses of sleep-causing drugs every year. 60% of them are sold without a prescription. So, this is what's happening. Sleeping pill addicts, foggy at the wheel, wrap cars around telephone poles, or plow into an innocent citizen with his wife and children. Because of what barbiturates can do to the brain, the addicts now and then jump off a roof, or blow their brains out, or take an accidental overdose of sleeping pills. Then they end up in the morgue tagged DOA, dead on arrival. Barbiturates have become the chief cause of death from accidental poisoning in the United States. Take one city alone, New York. Take a typical large hospital, Bellevue. We asked Dr. Lewis I. Sharp, director of the psychiatric division, to tell us what the sleeping pill story is at Bellevue. In a special recorded statement, Dr. Sharp said,
barbiturates such as phenobarbital, luminol, amitol, secanol, and nembutol are becoming an increasingly serious public health problem. Due probably to cultural factors such as the increased tempo and stress of modern living, there has been a general increase in the incidence of so-called neurotic and other personality disorders. In order to ease tension and allay anxiety, barbiturates are frequently resorted to without medical supervision. Such people are in danger of becoming dependent, if not addicted, to barbiturates. As a result of such dependency or addiction reactions, an alarming increase in both accidental and suicidal deaths have occurred throughout the country. In New York City alone, in the past 20 years, the incidence of deaths due to barbiturates have increased 40 times.
This goes on, too. We're at a home in a Midwestern town.
Mr. Peters?
Yes, police.
I'm a state trooper, ma'am. You Tommy Peters' folks?
Yes, we are. What's happened?
Your son's under arrest. What? The charge will be robbery and assault.
Oh, my son?
I'll bring him in.
Hello, Mom. Pop? Okay, don't talk. I'll do the talking. Fellas dared me to try something, a drink. I didn't want them to think I was just a kid, so I took it. Made me feel good, sort of crazy-like. They drank some, too. The streets were empty, except for one man who was walking by. One of the boys dared us to try a holdup. So we held up the man. He started to fight. I had my pocket knife, and I took it out and cut him up.
I'll dress, son. I'll go to the police station with you.
You, Mom? Don't you want to say nothing?
You raise a boy. He's your whole life. You just want him to be a decent boy. Then they take him and give him something to drink. And he isn't your boy anymore. All his life he has a police record. What was it? What did they give him?
It's called a Geronimo. Lots of guys are taking it.
What's a Geronimo?
It's gin with a sleeping pill.
Yes, youngsters are taking sleeping pills, too. Police recently stopped a crime wave engulfing an entire city due to teenagers who were on thrill jags. Sleeping pill kicks, that is. Now, that's the broad national picture. But here at WOR, we wondered about the human equation. Why does a man or woman become a sleeping pill addict? And what happens to them after they do?
This is Howard Merrill. I wrote this program. To find the answer to the question Ray Johnson has just asked, I interviewed some of America's leading psychiatrists. I spent time visiting a mental institution which was treating such addicts. What you will hear now is a complete case based upon those interviews. We will be dealing with a fictional character, but her experiences are typical and are based upon actual cases.
Now let's call this girl Helen. She's attractive, young, has a good job, should be leading a normal, happy life. Helen's typing at her desk in a large manufacturing plant. That's Laura, her girlfriend, at the desk beside her.
Laura?
Yeah, Helen?
Got an aspirin?
No, why?
I have a headache. My head's splitting.
You getting enough sleep?
Guess not. I lie awake and keep thinking about things.
What things?
Oh, I don't know. What happened to me all day? What might happen tomorrow?
I know just what you need. Here, I got them in my pocketbook.
What are they?
Sleeping pills. Well, Helen, how'd you sleep last night?
Wonderfully. Mm-hmm. Where can I buy sleeping pills?
Well, here in New York, you got to have a doctor's prescription.
Oh, then I'll ask my doctor.
Never mind the doctor. I know a fellow who sells them.
Who?
The bookie. You know, the guy who takes the horse bets for the office. He hangs out in the cafeteria. Remember him?
Oh, will he sell them to me?
Oh, sure. All you want.
Look, Helen, I told you to stay away from me, didn't I? I gotta cut out this goofball stuff. It's too hot.
I want more. Who's your contact? Where do you get him? I said, who's your contact?
Ask for Willie at the bowling alley down the block. Dopey broad. You'll end up in the gutter someplace. That's what you are, a dopey broad.
Are you Willie?
That's me, sweetheart.
Your friend in the cafeteria said you could sell me pills.
Goof?
Yeah?
How many do you want?
100?
Okay. Come back tonight and bring $10. I haven't seen you quite a while, honey. Where you been?
Looking for a job.
Oh, you got fired, huh?
Weeks ago.
It's no wonder. You look lousy.
Why'd you send for me?
Well, business here hasn't been so hot. I need a little dough.
What's that got to do with me?
I need $50.
What about it?
You're going to get it for me.
I haven't any money.
Well, find some.
Why should I? It's your headache.
You wouldn't want me to tell your folks about the pills you take, would you?
No. No, don't do that.
And you wouldn't want me to go someplace where you get a job and tell them, would you?
That's blackmail.
You wouldn't want me to stop selling the goof to you, would you?
You're a stinking blackmailer.
Not 50. Make it 100. Cash. Tonight.
This is the world of the sleeping pill addict. A world where the addicts march in a slow stupor. First, they try the doctors and druggists, but they're turned down. So the step lower, to the scheming bellhop, bartender, the wise guy who peddles the goof and maybe blackmails his victims. And still lower, to the scummy level of waterfront dives, brothels, gambling joints, any place that'll sell the little pills. If you can't get it in New York, hop the ferry to the dump in New Jersey. If you can't get it on State Street in Chicago, try the pool room they told you about in Cicero. If it's no go in L.A., hit U.S. 101 and thumb your way down the roadhouse near Tijuana. That's the deal. And this is what happened to Helen in a filthy rooming house now, talking to her landlady.
I waited 3 weeks for the rent, and I ain't going to wait no more. What's the matter? Ain't you feeling well?
I'm very weak. I'll lie down.
Say, you drunk?
No. Go away.
Now, look, don't you get sick here. I run a decent place. If you're sick and you can't pay the rent, get out.
No,
if you're going to die, you go on down the gutter, not in my place.
No.
Now, get up over that bed and get out of here, will you?
I can't stand up.
Get up off of that floor, you tramp. Operator, I want an ambulance.
The intern will scrawl the words on the report that he's written so many times before. Barbiturate intoxication. So, for Helen, the ride to the emergency ward through the darkened streets of the city. So, perhaps, in the delirium, she will remember the face of the bookie seen through the cigarette smoke in the crowded restaurant.
Dopey broad. You'll end up in a gutter someplace. That's what you are, a dopey broad.
This is Howard Merrill again. I was an eyewitness to a case exactly like Helen's. It was at a flop house in downtown Manhattan. The woman I saw had just been discharged from a city hospital, having been booked for barbiturate intoxication. They'd barely managed to save her life with antidotes and stomach pumps. She was prematurely gray. She could hardly stand up. She understood nothing that was said to her. She was ghastly white, and she trembled as though she were freezing to death. I began wondering what compulsion drove a woman like this to taking sleeping pills. Here is a condensed summary of what I was told personally by psychiatrists.
A person who turns to such pills is in desperate need of psychiatric help. He's running away from a problem deep in the subconscious. This may be a fear, perhaps, or a guilt, or a frustration. A gremlin lurking in the darkest corners of the mind, a gremlin we simply cannot face. It is this gremlin that causes insomnia, nervousness, vague discontent. To avoid unpleasant reality, we turn to the soothing escape of the barbiturates. Of course, by failing to see a physician, by taking the easy way out, we're just reserving space at a mental institution, or too often, a slab at the morgue.
The human side of the problem, then, was clear. But what is the attitude of our local, state, and national governments? Here in New York City, WOR asked Jerome Trichter, Assistant Commissioner of Health, for a statement.
This is Jerome Trichter. Here is a bird's eye view of the New York City barbiturate problem. The records of the health department show that in 1918, there were 3 deaths due to the misuse of barbiturates. 30 years later, in 1948, 173 people died after taking an excessive number of barbiturate tablets by suicide or accidentally. This does not include an additional group of 477 individuals who were brought into hospital suffering from severe barbiturate poisoning and who recovered. Figures for the 11 months of 1949 to date are still higher, and this alarming picture of the misuse of barbiturates is a problem of grave concern to the health department. New York City is not unique in this respect. The picture is repeated in San Francisco, where deaths have increased 150% in 4 years. Chicago, deaths up 140% in 8 years, and so on throughout the country. Curiously enough, the accidental deaths from morphine have been steadily decreasing because the public is keenly aware of the dangers surrounding the use of morphine. But this is not the case with sleeping pills. People are not fully aware of the hazards involved in self-medication with barbiturates. It is essential that all fully appreciate the importance of this matter, and the cooperation of everyone is required in our efforts to lower the toll of barbiturate poisoning with its attendant physical and mental deterioration, not to mention deaths in ever-increasing numbers.
For the statewide picture, WOR invited State Senator Thomas Desmond, author of proposed legislation regarding barbiturates, to tell us his viewpoint. In a special statement to WOR for this broadcast, Senator Desmond said, we are quoting,
"These harmless-looking pills composed of a poisonous barbiturate can, if taken in too large a quantity, be as deadly as a loaded pistol, an open gas range, or quicksand. In nearly every state in the country, you can buy as many of them as you want. No limit. Buy enough to kill yourself, buy enough to kill your family, buy enough to kill everyone on your block. Sleeping pills are as dangerous as opium, morphine, heroin, or marijuana."
For the national picture, WOR invited a comment by the Commissioner of the Federal Food and Drugs Administration, Dr. Paul B. Dunbar. This is Dr. Dunbar speaking to you in a special recording for this broadcast made in Washington, D.C.
"The barbiturates, when taken under competent medical supervision, are among our most useful medicines. A serious public health problem exists, however, because of the unsupervised use of these sleeping pills. Broken homes, destroyed health, suicides, and accidental deaths are commonly encountered in investigations which disclose that the drugs were procured either through sales without prescription or by repetitious, unauthorized refilling of prescriptions. No federal agency has adequate authority to cope with this national problem. We have sought to control this evil with our limited authority, but we recognize that the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act is not an adequate instrument to deal with the problem in all its phases. There is a real need for the enactment of a federal statute and comparable state laws in the 48 states.
3 billion sleeping pills a year are sold, 60% without prescription. And they are causing the damage just stated to you by city, state, and federal officials. But where are they being sold? How? When? Is it easy to get the pills without a prescription?
This is WOR reporter John Wingate, and that's the question I was assigned to answer. I found that only 12 out of 48 states have anything you might call control of the sale of sleeping pills. In other words, in 3/4 of our states, it's probably as simple as buying chewing gum or a morning paper. But how about the states that are trying to enforce control? New York City is a good example. It's against the law to sell sleeping pills here without a prescription. But is the law observed? I decided to find out the hard way. I took secret recording equipment hidden on my person and began walking the streets of New York. For ethical reasons, we'll reenact my actual experiences rather than play the recordings. They are available, though, here at WOR in our files. So I tried my first drugstore. How do you do? I'd like a toothbrush, please, one of those 49-cent ones.
Here you are, sir. And what else would it be?
Well, I've just come to town. I got a room in a hotel that's right over the way across the street. It's so noisy, I can't sleep. You got something for that? Some kind of pills or powder?
We do sell sleeping pills, but only on prescription.
Well, I haven't got time to go to a doctor, though, and then come back. Couldn't you give me just a couple?
Oh, absolutely not.
No dice on the first try, so I kept going. East side, west side, all around town. I started to think that in a city that has laws about barbiturates, you simply can't get them. Then I tried a drugstore in Midtown Manhattan on the east side. Very popular spot. What you are about to hear is based upon records in our files made without the druggist's knowledge, of course. I had a hidden microphone with me. Except for minor changes made for dramatic purposes, almost word for word, here's what happened to me. Let's see, cigarettes, adhesive tape, soap, I guess. That about does it.
I'll wrap it up.
You the pharmacist?
No, I'm a clerk. Want to see the doc?
If I could, yes.
1 minute. Hello?
Hello, Doc. Say, could you do a favor for me?
What is it?
I'm a salesman, you see. Now, you know how it is. You got to keep taking clients out, entertaining them. I've sort of knocked myself out, you know, when you're too tired to sleep.
Well?
Could you give me something for it?
I can give you bromide.
Okay, I'll try it. I decided to try this approach. I waited overnight, then I went back the next day. This was my second visit. Bromide just didn't help me, Doc. I got to have something more powerful.
Didn't help, huh? All right, young man. Try these.
What are they?
2 sleeping pills.
I'd done it. Bought the pills without a prescription in a popular drugstore right in the center of town. No contacts, no bribery. I paid the store a third visit the next night and saw the doc again. How are you, Doc?
Question is, how are you?
Well, that pill did wonders for me last night. Could I get some more?
I gave you 2 last night.
Well, I only took 1. I didn't take both. I think I lost the other one. Could use a few more for the weekend.
Well, here you are. 2 more.
You think 2 will be enough?
Well, here's a couple more.
How many have I got now?
I'm giving you 4 altogether.
Thanks a lot. Good night, Doc. My experiment had worked even better than I'd hoped. On my third visit, I received twice as many pills as I'd bargained for. I can testify now on the basis of having actually done it myself that even in a large city where there are strict laws regarding the sale of sleeping pills, it's entirely possible to buy them without a prescription. Reports of the bootleg racket in these pills are accurate.
What's being done to stop it? Well, in some cities, alert departments of health are on the job 24 hours a day. New York City, for example. WOR reporters went on an inspection tour with an agent of the department. This is how it operates. This is a reenactment of an actual inspection witnessed by WOR reporters by special permission.
Good morning. I'm an inspector from the Department of Health. My badge.
Oh, yes, Inspector. What would you like to see?
I noticed on the way in that you have a sign in your window. That medicine you're advertising is a sure cure for intestinal ailments. Now, that case was settled in court. You'll have to remove that sign.
Surely, I will.
The inspector covers every shelf, drawer, showcase, on the alert for outdated medicines, improperly labeled products, illegal products. And always he stops at one point of particular interest to our story.
Where's your drug cabinet?
Right here, sir.
You keep it locked, of course?
Always, Inspector. The boss has one key. The clerk on duty has the other. I have it right here.
Mm-hmm. You open it, please.
There you are.
Mm-hmm. Morphine, opium, sleeping pills, all the barbiturates in this cabinet. None lying around outside of it.
Oh, none, Inspector.
Get out your prescription book, please.
Prescriptions must account for every dangerous drug dispensed and for the stock of barbiturates. The store we covered was perfectly legitimate. So, as the inspector finished looking at the prescription book...
All right, this looks fine. Now I'll check your instruments and your scale.
Here's the scale.
Thank you.
For anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, sometimes longer, the inspector examines the drugstore. Then, satisfied that there are no violations, he picks up the familiar black bag and trudges down the street to his next assignment guarding the health of 8 million persons. Now let's face the truth about agents of a local health department. Their problem is very much like that faced by federal men during Prohibition. To watch 8 million persons in greater New York, for instance, would require 8 million policemen. New York's health department, like those of many other cities, is doing a superb job. But it is humanly impossible to operate that system perfectly. When you realize that most states have no laws at all about sleeping pills, you get a clear picture of what we're up against. The laws we do have on a state or nationwide basis are either weak or conflicting. Okay, Mr. Johnson, you're probably saying, let's do something about it. But what? Remember that sleeping pills are one of the great medical discoveries of our time. When prescribed by a physician and sold by a legally authorized druggist. But beyond that, well, listen closely. If you act upon what you will be told now, it may save your life or the life of someone who means a great deal to you. So listen.
Never take sleeping pills unless they're prescribed by a physician. Never give them to anyone or recommend them to anyone on your own say-so. If you have a prescription for them, never refill it without the doctor's permission, even if your state permits it. If you know of any person who sells or distributes sleeping pills illegally, notify your local Department of Health immediately. In New York City, the telephone is Worth 2-6900. That's Worth 2-6900. If there isn't a local health department in your community, notify the police. Don't waste time. Every minute counts. If you have insomnia, consult your physician at once. He will recommend the proper treatment. If you've become addicted to sleeping pills, report this at once to your physician. Don't risk taking an overdose. Everyone throughout the 48 states can write or wire Representative Edith Norse Rogers. That's Representative Edith Norse Rogers, the congresswoman in Washington, D.C. Congresswoman Rogers has introduced a bill for federal control of sleeping pill distribution.
Of course, you can sit there by your radio set and do nothing at all about this. Say, there's a good idea. Just sit there, do nothing, and name your poison.
You have been listening to Name Your Poison, another in the special series of broadcasts prepared by WOR's News and Special Features Division in the public interest. Name Your Poison was presented under the supervision of Dave Driscoll, director of WOR's News and Special Features Division, assisted by Edith Mezeran. The script was written by Howard Merrill. Your narrator was Raymond Edward Johnson. The program was directed by Roger Bauer, with music under the direction of Emerson Buckley. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.